Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. We appreciate the few people that just jumped on the line that called in advance. So thank you for dialing in toll-free-wise. We have a whole bunch of other your neighbors getting on the call right now. We're going to wait a couple of minutes until I bring Mike on to this call and introduce him. We want you to, though, we really want to have you ask questions. And the best way to ask questions is to press zero. That's zero on the keypad on your phone. This call is going to be for about 45 minutes to an hour, probably closer to an hour. We always get a bunch of calls on questions on these calls. We did the last go-around when we did this. So, again, everybody, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. We appreciate you joining us tonight. We're going to be on for up to the next hour. If you have a question of us, we'd really appreciate it if you'd press zero. That's zero on the keypad on your phone. Zero, what happens is we have an operator standing by. We have a couple of them, actually. And what they're going to do is they're going to type up your question. We'll get it queued up, and Mike will get it answered for you. So, again, one more time, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. We really appreciate you joining us tonight. Thanks for joining this call. We're going to be on, like I said, for about the next hour. We want people to press zero. That's zero on the keypad on your phone if you have a question. Zero if you have a question. Now, Mike, when I hand this call off to you with your opening remarks, if you can ask people to press zero to ask you a question, that would really help out a whole bunch. So, Mike, go ahead and start the call if you would, please.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Again, this is Mike Easley, and I am very excited to have another opportunity in our second Precorp town hall meeting to visit with the members. Over the course of the evening, we'll be taking some questions, so feel free, if you do have a question, to press zero. That will queue up an operator who will take the question and put your question into the queue so we can hopefully get to as many questions as we can tonight. I think the questions definitely will help us have an engaging conversation. There are three topics that I did want to focus on tonight that I think are probably the most important things that are currently happening with the co-op. First of all, we have some EPA regulations to talk about. There's always the question of what's the impact on Precorp's rates, so I plan to spend a little time talking about rates. And then also talk a little bit about our annual meeting that's coming up and encourage folks to attend the annual meeting and talk a little bit more about how the annual meeting works. So those are certainly three items that we hear are very important to folks. But again, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask me, please press zero and somebody will be there to help you out.
That would be my cue, and again, as Mike said, please press zero on the keypad on your phone if you have a question. We'll get them, and we have some people. We have a bunch of shy people on the call tonight. If you have a question, press zero. We're asking for all comers on this. So again, press zero on the keypad on your phone if you have a question. Now I'm going to do the first survey question. Well, questions are coming in. They're going to our operators right now. Here goes with the first survey question. How'd you hear about tonight's town hall? From Wren Magazine, press 1. If it was a newspaper ad, 2. The telephone call, press 3. Or some other way, press 4. So vote on this, if you would, please. How'd you hear about tonight's town hall? Wren Magazine, press 1. Newspaper ad, press 2. This telephone town hall call to you, press 3. Or some other way, press 4. We really appreciate it one way or the other. It looks like, obviously, we have a whole bunch of ways to get through to you, and we appreciate you voting on that. We are going to right off take our first question, if we can, from Cliff. Cliff, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Cliff, where are you from, and what is your question, please?
I'm from Newcastle, and I live out in east of Newcastle in the county, and I have your electric company. And I was wondering, why did they charge so much just for the service?
Hey, Cliff. This is Mike. How you doing tonight?
Good.
Good. Hey, when you talk about how much we charge for the service, there's a...
I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, we have Powder River Energy's rates are... we actually benchmark our rates across the state and in our region. I know that anytime anybody writes a check for a bill, it always feels like it's too much, but our rates are pretty competitive. The average member rate for a residential member is right around 7 cents on the average. Probably depending on how much you use, we see monthly electric bills depending on how much you use, varying from, you know, $60 on up, with the average use probably being right around $77 a month, I think, for electric power. We also do charge for our line extension costs. If you build a new service, after we offer a small credit to help get that built, you will be charged for the cost of the line extension, which is really the only fair way we can build new, you know, build infrastructure for a particular customer. So that's sort of how our rates work. Again, we spend a lot of time benchmarking and comparing ourselves, and I think Precorp is one of the most competitive co-ops in the state of Wyoming. We're right neck and neck, sometimes ahead, sometimes behind of the town of Gillette, and I think we're very competitive with Black Hills as well.
All right. We have just about everybody dialed out. I want to remind all the late comers, we're sorry we took so long to dial to you, please press zero. That's zero on the keypad on your phone if you have a question, just like we just took from Cliff. And press seven on the keypad on your phone if you want to provide us your email address. That's seven on the keypad on your phone if you want to get email updates from us. So seven for emails, zero for questions. And this next question came in earlier today from John, and the question goes like this: what can you tell us about the proposed EPA rules?
Well, to answer John's question, I can tell you right now we are, just like all the other utilities in the country, neck deep in wading through the EPA regulations. And right now we're working on what's called 111D, which is actually the section of the regulation. The 111D regulations are meant to regulate the CO2 emissions out of existing coal plants. And the EPA is actually proposing to require around a 30% cut in CO2 emissions from the coal-fired power plants in the country. In order to do that, they've analyzed each state individually to figure out how much CO2 emissions need to be cut out of each state, and they've offered four different ways or four different building blocks to cut CO2 emissions. And as we go through these regulations, on one hand, EPA is being very inviting collaboration among the states and inviting lots of input on how to get to the goal, but what they're very firm on is that their regulations will definitely reduce the carbon emissions and lower the amount of coal production that we're able to use. For our perspective, it could be it's definitely a cost issue. When you take a look at the impacts, we actually heard Secretary Muniz say several months ago that eliminating coal from the portfolio could increase power prices by about 75%. That's a pretty significant number. I don't think that coal would entirely go away, but that's sort of what he's proposed or has mentioned as a worst-case scenario. For us here at Precorp, we are working really hard to look at these regulations, and we really do need the members' help. Even though this is a very large regulation, and at times it seems like that a member or just an ordinary citizen can't make a difference, but I can tell you we need every voice that we have available to make comments to the EPA and comment that we should not do anything that takes coal out of our portfolio. It will drive our costs up needlessly. It will make it very difficult, I think, for us to be to have good, strong economic development and good, strong economies, especially in rural America, where we are so dependent on coal. Now, I'm not saying that there's not merit in some of the EPA regulations. They give us a four-step process of kind of building blocks. The first building block is to improve efficiency in the coal-fired power plants, and they've asked for operators to improve efficiencies by 6%. That makes really good sense, and historically, operators try to increase their plant efficiency, but one of the things that has prevented them from achieving maximum efficiency in the coal plants is if they do too many modifications to improve efficiency, they could actually open up their permit and have to re-permit their operations on their plant. So operators historically have been very cautious about making efficiency improvements, and hopefully with this requirement in the EPA regulation, you would hope that they would make it easier to make these heat rate improving the heat rate and improve the efficiencies of the plant as part of this regulation. The other thing that they're asking folks to do is offset coal use by running existing combined cycle gas plants, and those are plants that basically burn gas, take the waste heat, boil steam, and use that to make power. And they're asking to increase the amount of runtime that those plants see. Typically, they probably run in the order of 40 to 55% of the time. They're asking those plants to run at 70%. And that can certainly be beneficial to CO2 output. And provided gas prices stay low, that could be that won't be too bad of a thing for folks to have to bear those costs. The third thing they've asked for is to increase the use of nuclear and renewables. And you know, for Wyoming, obviously, nuclear is not in our supply. And there are some renewables in the state that has been put in over the years. So that's one. And then the last thing that they've asked us to do is to increase in use efficiency, and they're hoping that we can become more efficient as consumers with our power from 9 to 10% additional efficiency. The way the EPA has calculated things, if we did all those things that they've mentioned, that Wyoming actually may reduce its carbon by 19 or its CO2 by 19%, a little less than the national average. The issues that we have here, though, is, again, like I mentioned, if you can't improve the heat rate without having to rewrite your permit, or if you don't have combined cycle plants, it really does limit what we can do. On the efficiency side, one of the problems with that is that many of the efficiencies that a customer can try to do in their house cost you money. And I know that there's lots of people that simply can't afford to make the investment to realize the efficiency gains. You know, the out-of-pocket expense is something that you make on day one, and you spend several years realizing potential savings in order to pay that off. And some people just don't have the money to do that. That's why Powder River Energy has what we call our HELP loan, which is a home efficiency loan program where you can make no interest loans from the co-op in order to purchase high efficiency appliances, even light bulbs. And we allow about $2,500 a member that you can actually will just show up on your power bill every month to help you buy efficiency stuff, whether it's, you know, you want to outfit your house in the state-of-the-art LEDs or if you need to buy a new dishwasher. That's a high efficiency, you can use that. So I would encourage everybody to make comments to the EPA through our website and let them know that we are concerned about them eliminating coal from our power supply mix. We certainly realize that the EPA's ideas of dealing with the CO2 emissions are addressing the bigger issue of climate change, but we think that the regulations as written really create hardship on us, and we hope that they give industry and the state more time to coordinate, deal with this issue, and try to approach how we can run our power plants and keep them as efficient and as running for as long a time period as we can.
Thank you, sir. Let's take another survey question if we can, and the question's a pretty simple one, so let me rustle it up here if I can. It goes like this. Do you agree with the federal government's handling of clean air, water, and wildlife regulations in Wyoming? If you do, press 1, and if you don't, press 2. Here goes again with the question. Do you agree with the federal government's handling of clean air, water, and wildlife regulations in Wyoming? One is yes, and two is no. We really appreciate your participation. Okay, we're going to take Dean next while you're voting. Dean, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Dean, where are you from, and what is your question, please?
Oh, I'm from Gillette. And I was wanting to know why our Wyodak plant right here that's a mile from me doesn't service this area here instead of from somewhere else.
Well, Dean, that's a really great question, and I hope I can answer without sounding like a super geeky engineer, but I'll try my best. The Wyodak plant is actually, the energy complex is owned by Rocky Mountain Power and Black Hills. And Powder River Energy is supplied by a company called Basin Electric, and they have a power plant that's in Gillette that's been in operation for just about 4 years now called the Dry Fork Station. So theoretically, Powder River Energy gets its electricity from Basin via the Dry Fork plant. Although the way the power generation system works, the generators basically put electrons in, sort of like pumps putting water into a big piping system, and you're not really positive, you know, if electron is generated at the Wyodak plant, where that electron actually gets consumed. And so Rocky Mountain Power puts power in at the Wyodak plant. It goes on to the transmission system, and it would actually come out in places that Rocky Mountain serves, like Casper and even some of the other states that are part of their service territory. So we don't control the flow of electrons in the AC power system, but the closer that you are to a power plant, the more likely it would be that your specific electrons would come from that plant. And that's why it's pretty safe for Precorp to say that the Dry Fork Station, you know, on one hand, it's contracted to provide our service, but we more than likely receive most of our electrons from the Dry Fork Station, or perhaps even some of the Wyodak electrons, although the electrons don't really pay attention to how the contracts are set up.
Let's take another question, if we can, right away. I think we're going to take Linda. Linda, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Linda, where are you from, and what's your question, please?
I'm from Gillette, and I'm kind of concerned about people that are on a limited income.
Same issue.
And senior citizens that receive discounts on their electrical.
Well, Linda, I think that's a really great question. And, you know, Powder River Energy starts off being a member-owned electric cooperative, and our rates are basically built on a not-for-profit status. And so we design our rates to be as low as they possibly can, and we set the rates so all rate classes sort of pay their fair share. If we were to have discounts to any particular special class of customer, basically what we're asking is the other members to pay for that. And that's not something that we can do. But we do have things like budget billing. So if a customer would like to spread their bill evenly over the entire year, and you know, we have some months that we may use more energy than others, could be wintertime or it could be summer depending on what you have, you can actually spread your bill across 12 months. And that really does help people, that helps them even out their monthly utility bill so it's even and they know what it is going to be every month. There's also some programs within the state that can help people pay their power bill, although those funds don't come from, you know, Powder River Energy. They come from the state. So the other thing that the co-op has is we do retire capital credits every year, and we typically do that in the November or December time frame. And if you've been on our system for a while, you should be seeing a capital credit check every month or every year Typically, depending on how much you'd be getting rebated back to you, that could either be a check or it could show up as a credit on your bill. You know, our rate discussion that we I wanted to mention. This is a really great question. We just went through a rate increase that was put into effect on May 10th, and in this particular increase, it was about a 2.28% increase, which the average residential customer saw about a $6 increase on their power bill. And we worked very hard over a year to try to get that down as far as we could. It started off to be a little over $6 million, and by the time we got to the final outcome of our rate hearing, we narrowed that down to only $4.2 million, which is still a lot of money. But in the times that we are trying to do business with, you know, costs increasing and our load not increasing anymore, it's been very difficult for us to maintain the benefits of a growing system. And so we had a really small rate adjustment. There is some good news that we have on rates, though. We are not expecting our wholesale power costs to increase next year. And the wholesale power cost is probably nearly between 70 and 80% of our entire power bill. So to have to be going into 2015 not anticipating a rate increase on our wholesale power cost is really going to be a great benefit for all our members. And we are working really hard to continue to be efficient in everything that we do so that we will not be coming back for a rate increase as early as we would if we weren't working so hard. And so potentially we may see a rate increase or happening in 2016.
Let's do another polling question if we can. This one just came in, and it goes like this, a survey question rather. The question goes like this. May Precorp make comments to the EPA on your behalf? And if the answer is yes, press 1 on the keypad on your phone. And if the answer is no, press 2. May Precorp make comments to the EPA on your behalf? And maybe you could elaborate on what that means, Mike. Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Mike, what do you all mean by that?
Yes, that's a great lead-in. If you would like us to make comments to the EPA on your behalf, we will work with the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, who leverages the co-ops across the country, 750 co-ops, and we will leverage all our comments and get them in to the EPA with a consistent message about keeping our power bills affordable, keeping our rural economy strong, and making sure that the regulations that the EPA does actually finalize are reasonable and don't create unintended consequences that would be very hard for folks to deal with. So we'd be happy to make those comments on your behalf and kind of multiply your voice with your neighbor's voice, with the other co-ops in the state and across the nation, and make an impact to the EPA. I think this last time that we were working on EPA comments on the rules to regulate new coal power plants and the carbon emissions from new plants, I think we had 600,000 or so comments across the country that went into EPA. And your support in responding to these 111D regulations on existing power plants is absolutely critical for the co-op and for our future, and we would appreciate your support on that.
We are going to take another question from the audience. By the way, last call as it were. Anybody that wants to get a question in, we've got some people in the queue, but we want more. If you have a question, please press 0. That's 0 on the keypad on your phone. And last, as for this, if you'd like to provide us your email address for email updates, please press 7. 0 for questions, 7 for email updates. Fred is next. Fred, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Fred, where are you from, and what's your question, please?
Newcastle, Wyoming. I'm just kind of wondering what the portfolio looked like as far as Precorp goes in connection with alternative energies.
Okay, great. As you know, Powder River Energy's supplier is a co-op that's just like us, except for instead of it serving retail, it serves wholesale. So Powder River is one of about 125 co-ops that receives power from Basin Electric. Basin Electric's portfolio has wind in it, it has coal in it, it has some peakers that are natural gas generation. And so when you take a look at the entire Basin portfolio, right now Basin has about almost 800 megawatts of wind generation that's currently on the grid. And that wind generation actually provides the opportunity for Precorp and Basin to sell renewable energy credits, and you can buy those through Powder River Energy and actually take your entire energy usage at your particular home and essentially support that wind energy that Basin has put in. Basin is looking at adding another 200 to 250 megawatts of wind by the end of 2015, which if you add that together, that'll be about 1,000 megawatts of capacity of wind in Basin. They've got about 3,000 megawatts of coal. There's some very small heat recovery turbines that they actually recover heat off some oil pipeline pumps that they use to generate electricity. It's about 45 or so megawatts, very small. So that's the stack of resources that Basin has that, by virtue of Powder River Energy's membership in Basin, that is our portfolio. And we're very proud of what Basin has done with wind. And what's really interesting is that's been happening for about 10 years now. And all the wind that Basin has added into their portfolio has resulted in, right now, our average wholesale power cost is right about 5.3 cents, which is very competitive. That includes the wind and everything that I just mentioned. And so they've been able to add the generation, do it at the right time when the markets and the system build out made it as economic as possible for the membership.
Thank you, sir. I wanted to remind people that one last time, if they had a question, please press 00 on your phone. All right, we had a question come in earlier from Dave, and I got to get it lined up here. Dave's question is, what is the future of Precorp's rates?
Well, first of all, I think the future of our rates is, I look at it and I look out, we do financial forecasting. We basically have a 10-year forecast that we run several times a year. And we have the pressures on our costs just like anybody does with inflation and whatnot. We think over the next year, we know our wholesale power costs for 2015 and maybe even 2016 are not going to change very much at all. We get out to 2017 time frame, and there's a slight bump in the Basin in our wholesale power cost due to adding some new generation on the system, some combined cycle gas generation. That's going to create a little bit of a bump in the rates. And then from 2017 on, it's very slight increases. So I think our wholesale power cost, it's safe to say, for the next couple of years, very stable, probably in a four-year period, maybe we might see a half a cent increase on our wholesale power costs And then we get out any farther than that, it's sort of hard to guess, but we do see, you know, it inching upward, basically following what we're seeing with inflation. From Precorp, when you look at our system, the rate stability that we had for so many years was really driven by growth. And to the extent that our system is growing, we have the ability to hold the line on rates or potentially not increase rates as fast as inflation is increasing all our costs. I know next year, I believe we're going to have fairly stable rates. We could have a slight increase in 2016 on the Powder River Energy distribution costs. And then from that point on, it really is going to be a crystal ball depending on the growth. Now, we get out of the normal inflationary costs, which people expect, and we all understand how those put cost pressures on us. It's really hard to say what the carbon regulations could do to us. If you take a look at a $10 cost of carbon per ton, which could potentially see this like in the 2020 time frame, that sort of a cost of carbon could raise our wholesale power costs by about 20%. So outlying in the out years, there's lots of uncertainty and some fairly large things that could impact our rates. But for the next couple of years, I think our rates will continue to be really competitive and slight increases, if any, moving forward. But the good news is we know we don't have a wholesale power cost increase in 2015. We're going to do our best to get by with the rate increase that was approved in May that generated $4.2 million in extra revenue and get by on that as long as we can by continuing to be more efficient in how we go about spending your money. It's really important for us to hear from you so you can be engaged in the conversation about rates by attending our annual meeting. I'll be talking in more detail about that. Our annual meeting is going to be on August 23rd in Moorcroft. We actually need 100 members to show up in order to actually make that meeting valid. Without 100 members showing up out of our 12,262 members, our election doesn't count. So it's very important that we get at least 100 members, but we certainly would like to see more. It's a great opportunity to meet the board of directors, to hear firsthand, face-to-face, what's happening at the co-op, and I always make time to try to visit with folks one-on-one if they have any specific questions. And I also have my staff there if there are very detailed questions or situations that people are needing more information on or need some help with. We have the people there to help you navigate whatever issues that you might have. So your voice is important to us. Your time that we have spent in the conference call today during our town hall meeting is much appreciated, and I hope that you've been able to get a little better perspective on what we're facing in the EPA regulations, regulating our existing coal plants, a little bit of awareness on that our rates are competitive, that we're trying to hold our costs down, and hopefully you've learned a little bit more about the co-op, and I'm happy to take any other questions that you might have.
And we do have a bunch of them still out there, so here goes. We're gonna take Chris next, and then we got a polling question or two after that, and we got some more people wanting to ask questions after that. So here goes with Chris. Chris, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Chris, where are you from? What's your question, please?
I'm from here in Gillette. I'm just as coal friendly as everybody else, but wouldn't it be cheaper to generate power using water than using coal and wind?
Well, that depends on if the water's available. If you take a look at the Pacific Northwest, where there's a bunch of existing dams, I think their wholesale power costs through that system are probably running under 5 cents. Precorp actually has a very small part of our portfolio, around 10 megawatts worth of our power, which, back 30 years ago, that allocation was a bigger percentage of our power supply. But right now, we actually have a WAPA allocation, which is part of the Western Area Power Administration, and that WAPA power is I think, just under 4 cents. So the existing hydro system that we have in the country is fairly competitive, but the ability to put on new hydro is really difficult with a lot of the environmental concerns. If you take a look at the basin portfolio as a whole, there's about 300 megawatts of hydro that basin allocates and manages for its members under the WAPA, and Precorp has a very small part of that.
As promised, we're going to do another survey question. It goes like this. Would you like to attend another telephone town hall? If the answer is yes, press 3. If the answer is no, press 4. Would you like to attend another future telephone town hall? 3 is yes and 4 is no. We really appreciate your participation. All right, we're going to take Sarah next if we can. Sarah, let me get this queued up. Sarah, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Sarah, where are you from, and what's your question, please? Sarah, go ahead. You're up, please.
Hi, Sarah.
Sarah may have us on mute. It happens. Let me read her question. Financial contributions, how do you make those decisions, is her question.
Well, Sarah, that's a great question. We have what's called the Powder River Energy Foundation, which is really, if you take a look at our organization, that's sort of our charitable giving arm. We actually have a program called Operation Roundup, where members can round up their power bill to the even dollar amount, and those funds are taken and given to the foundation. The foundation also does some of their own fundraising, and they have a board of directors that actually reviews funding requests and makes decisions. That's probably our most high-profile way of making donations. Then internally, we have what's called a community involvement committee, which is made up of employees from all our small communities that come together as a team. And we use what is called unclaimed capital credits to provide dollars for that group to make donations. And unclaimed capital credits are when we send out the capital credit check once a year, we budget $2.5 million roughly. If people don't pick up those checks or don't cash them, we're required by state law to do something with that money that's left over that benefits the membership. And so we do scholarships with that. We also let this team direct those donations up to like $500 at any one given entity. They're limited to up to $500.
Thank you, sir. We're going to do a question that came in earlier today. It's from Brad. What is the state doing to respond to the regulations?
Well, I think that's a really great question. And generally, the state has taken especially over the past couple of years, you've seen Governor Mead take a much more aggressive approach than we've seen historically. And the state is pushing back on areas where they think there's overregulation. The EPA has done some an overreach on air quality for some of our existing power plants, not anything to do with CO2, but actually to deal with what they call regional haze. The state is looking at lawsuits at the EPA. They're looking and pushing back on some of the other regulatory rules that are coming down the pike. But also at the same time, while the state is pushing back against overregulation, they're also leading the country in trying to be proactive. And one of the things that the state has done is last January, February, the legislature approved funding to build a test center to put at an existing Wyoming coal plant to provide the type of environment that innovators can come in and learn how to capture CO2 out of coal flue gas and then try to turn that CO2 into some beneficial use. So the state has done two things. On one hand, they're pushing back where they feel the federal government is being heavy-handed. They're doing that politically. They're doing that legally. And at the same time, they're also leading by example and being proactive in accordance with Governor Meade's energy strategy.
Let's take another question from the audience. We'll try to squeeze a couple more in before the end of this call if we can. It's Gene. Gene, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Gene, where are you from and what's your question, please?
I'm from Buffalo. Occasionally I get a letter from Powder River, and it states on there that there's so much in a fund that I have, and I was wondering what that money is and how do I use it or can I use it?
Well, Gene, that's a great question, and that gets right to one of the fundamental values of the co-op. We run the co-op on a not-for-profit business, and every year, hopefully, when we pay all the expenses, we have a little bit of money left over. When that money is left over, a for-profit business might call that profits. We call that margin, and we basically assign that margin back to the members that we serve that year based upon your usage. And so that goes into what's called your capital credit account. And those capital credits are on the books, and they're in your name or your estate's name, and we keep track of that in perpetuity. So that account builds every year. If we have margin, that account builds up, and we send you a statement every year to let you know how much is in that account. Then what we do is every year we also retire a small portion of our capital credits to basically pay back and pay down that balance. Now, if the only way that a natural person can get that entire account paid off is we do have a provision in our bylaw that upon the death of a member, that entire capital credit account can be retired up to some dollar limitations, depending on how much is in that. If there's a lot of money in that account, we may take more than 1 year to pay it down. But unfortunately, Gene, the easiest way to get that money out is that way. You get it all at once, but the problem is it'll be your family or your estate that is able to get those dollars. So you have your capital credit account. That is something we maintain for you. We send you that every year. And then once a year, we do the capital credit retirement where we chip away at paying you back. Typically, co-ops run around a 20-year rotation. So theoretically, we pay that out over a 20-year period every year. That sort of varies depending upon how much money we have. It could be 20, 25 years, depending on what kind of year we've had. But that's what that account is. And unfortunately, the way that you cash that out is we only cash that out upon a member becoming deceased. But that is something that is a benefit to your heirs.
And we want to take another question if we can. It's going to be from Rodney. Rodney, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Rodney, where are you from, and what's your question, please?
Yeah, I'm from Gillette, Wyoming. And my question is why don't the state of Wyoming just tell the EPA and the federal government that they're not sending any more resources that will cross the state line? And whenever they start having blackouts on the East Coast, the federal government won't have no choice but to buckle.
Well, that sounds really easy in theory, but I think unfortunately you have people that, if Wyoming stopped shipping its coal, that would you know, we provide coal for about 36% of the nation's coal. We would create, if Wyoming was to do that, and I don't think that they would, there would be havoc that's past just what the government would feel. And Wyoming would also be, you know, the contracts for our coal and the natural gas that we ship out of the state do go to people, companies, businesses that aren't the federal government. Now, on Wyoming's side, you know, Wyoming receives $1.3 billion in revenue from the coal industry due to our mining, shipping, and selling our 400 million tons of coal. So that would sort of be one of those cut off your nose to spite your face type of a thing. It's really a lot more effective, I think, for us to tell our story about how big a contributor Wyoming is, continue to make our voice heard at all levels of the government, and to engage our members, just like you, to help us push back on the regulations in accordance with the way that we can make our comments. I think a lot of people around here and in the state, certainly we talk about as that would be one way to get everybody's attention, but I think the unintended consequences of that would be pretty untenable for the economy and just the quality and safety of people's lives.
We have run out of our allotted time. If we didn't get to your question, we apologize. That means just leave us a voicemail at the end of this call, which is in a couple of minutes after Mike wraps up. But we do need your name, your phone number, and your email address for a chance to get back to you. Mike, bring us to the finish line, if you would, please.
Well, I'd really just like to thank all of you for hanging in and joining us on our second town hall. Your role as an owner of this company is extremely important, and staying engaged through the town hall process, coming to the annual meeting, making your voice heard through public comment, those are the things that we need in order to keep our cooperative business and our cooperative utility functioning, operational, and healthy. So thank you for your time. I hope that if you weren't planning on coming to the annual meeting in Moorcroft on August 23rd at 10 a.m., that you would plan to do so. I would love to meet you in person, shake your hand, and answer any questions that you might have on the co-op face-to-face.
Good night, everyone.
It's going to be a great meeting. We're going to have good giveaways and some great entertainment, and I hope to see everybody there.